Hello, everybody, and welcome to Geopolitics in Conflict show. So good to be with you guys. What I am going to talk to you today about are two key points that I need you to have an understanding about. One of them has to do with President Zelensky asking for a private meeting with the Russian President Putin, that is. And the second one is the targeting of the nuclear facility in Ukraine by the Russians, and what does it mean? So I'm going to provide you a readout on it, a brief analysis, if I may, just to put things in perspective for you, as we always do. So the reason, the question that becomes, of course, it's actually, before I jump into this, let me answer one particular question from... some of you have asked on the last video. The question is, how come Yemen is not a member of the ICC, of the International Criminal Court? Well, Yemen is not a member of the ICC. So is Ukraine. Ukraine is not. However, Ukraine was awarded the jurisdiction of the court despite not being a member. So, and this is where that kind of big question mark as to how come a country, Ukraine, will be given that, but not Yemen. So Yemen is not, there are other countries that they are not a member. However, what this means only that the court could gain jurisdiction over this conflict is through a Security Council resolution. In other words, if there were to be an investigation, a criminal court investigation about what's taking place in Yemen, it has to be done through the Security Council resolution. And of course, they're not going to take that because it's not a priority to them. So anyway, I wanted to answer that one for some of you because they've been asking questions. So now to our topic, is to why Zelensky wants to have a private meeting. Is he realizing that probably he made a mistake? Could he be, he wants to have a conversation privately, so because of the West would not approve of. So this way he doesn't have to be managed because he's manageable. This is one thing you guys need to come to an understanding. The case of Zelensky is because he's manageable. That is the reason why. And those are just possibilities. As I always say, as a geopolitical analyst, you think about what ifs, the possibilities. You think of scenarios, you know, and this is why I'm going to leave you before we end this conversation here with one question that you might want to think about. So it becomes, the question is, okay, does he want to have the private conversation? It's because his master would not let him say what he wants to say publicly, okay? Could it also be that probably he realized that now this is a serious matter? It has been a serious matter, you know. And our heart goes to the people of Ukraine, of course. As I said yesterday, guys, you know, who's in the right mind wants to see or what's going on to other human beings? Unless you are a very greedy individuals that tends to benefit from this. Well, as a matter of fact, they are the defense contractors. Are benefiting. I don't know if you had a chance to look at the shareholders this morning, the stocks rather, for example, Raytheon, some other defense contractors in UK, their stocks are so up. So that's another conversation for another day. So that becomes the question of, did President Zelensky realize that probably what a mistake I made? Because what you guys need to understand, that the conflict is not about Ukraine. It's much bigger than that. The conflict is between the US and Russia. While Ukraine being the pawn, shall we say, the checker move or piece that can move on the geopolitical table, that is exactly, or chessboard that is exactly where the issue is. And that becomes like all of a sudden. And by the way, you're not going to hear that in the West. The reason I came by this information this morning That's why I wanted to come on the air and share it with you guys. It was from Eastern Europe, closer to the area, without disclosing the name of the country where I get that information from. And again, you know, as an analyst, it makes you start to put the scenarios in front of you to think and consider, you know, did he finally realize maybe? Because once you say, I'm going to arm everybody, well, that's not a smart thing to do. Why is that? It's because you are putting people already in danger. Some of them do not even know how to handle a weapon. Some of them might never had a chance to fire a weapon. You know, then what do you think the moment your adversaries see you with a weapon, what is the first reaction is going to be? So this is one of the concerns that I believe President Zelensky came to a grip with, realizing that this is not going to be end anytime soon. We're looking at about 10 days now since the military operation started. The second aspect to the desire for having that private conversation is because he came to realize that Europe or NATO is not getting in. It is not. They are not going to put boots on the ground on Ukraine soil. And this is, once again, and I don't like to repeat myself, but I just to highlight to you the importance of understanding prior historical event or events that can sort of give you an idea of where things are. It's the same scenario that took place in Georgia. It was the same narrative, the same push by NATO and the West. You know, the president back then in Georgia, Mikhail Saakashvili, didn't think through this, didn't consider all the possibilities. Could it be even the ones surrounding him as advisors didn't have a grasp and a deep understanding of what's going on? Possibly, possibly not. I can't speak to that because I wasn't there. But this is one of the key questions that we are to think in terms of, should this happen? Is this why? You know, the other side to this argument also will be, will Russia sit down will President Putin sit down with Ukrainian President Zelensky? No. I don't see that happening. And this might sound surprising to some of you. I don't see that happening. Why? It's because that's going to put Russia on the weaker side of the argument. It will appear very weak if they do that. Here it is, a country that stood up to Russia, even though they are the one requesting the meeting, but here you, Russia, end up sitting down with them. So from optics, from a global aspects of optics, it would not look good. And second, I just don't think that President Putin will go for something like this at this moment. And this is why they just send in delegations to just see where things are. And nothing has materialized yet. Yes, they came to an agreement regarding creating a corridor for humanitarian objective to civilians, which I'm a believer of that. You know, when you engage in a military, you know, children or women, off limits. But military conflicts are nasty by nature. You know, some people do not recover from that, for what they saw, what they witnessed, what, you know, it stays with you forever. You know, it's not a pretty scene. You know, it can get very, very ugly. And we all saw what went through history. You know, you will think we learn from it, but there's a lot of things behind the scenes pushing for this forward. So I don't see the Russian just willy-nilly accepting the invitation. And if they do, there will be certain preconditions for it, for that to happen, which there already been some of them. For example, Russia has asked that Ukraine lay down all its arms because that's a big concern to them. And all this comes on the heels of, for example, France has sent now an aircraft carrier from Cyprus and is heading out towards Romania. You know, and its purpose is to maintain the airspace closer, not over Ukraine, but closer to to Ukraine. Why is France doing this? Some of you might ask, for the sake of Ukraine? No, it's because the election is coming up in France soon. So the French president, Emmanuel Macron, wants to show himself on a world stage as standing with Europe together against Russia and so forth. You know, I don't believe the purpose of it for specifically Ukraine. Yes, it is, that's what it's for. But the real reasons behind it is the upcoming presidential elections in France. There is also the conversation right now about moving this, like putting a frame for it from a religious perspective. You start to hear the narrative now about the Christians being targeted, the, you know, European sentiments regarding the religion, as we all know. You know, your religion can be a great motivator, shall we say, once you, as your beliefs as far as God, however you perceive God to be, that's a separate conversation altogether. But one thing you need to always understand, certain areas, Russia included, because interesting enough is that if you truly find out and learn about the relationship the Kremlin has with the Orthodox Church, you will understand why is that important. It's no different than what Ukraine is doing. And Europeans now is going to be pushing the narrative about your religious aspects of it. So that's just one of the key things. The two other points, the three other points, but the first one I want to talk about also has to do with the statement by a U.S. sitting senator who calls for the assassination of Vladimir Putin to end the problem. That's usually not a good way of displaying your understanding of global affairs. You don't resolve matters like that in that fashion. Why? Because it breaks all protocols, international protocols regarding law, regarding diplomacy, and we all know that's not something you just, and especially against the head of state, whether you like the head of state or not, and it doesn't matter who. It's not something that I was surprised, you know, that somebody who's been around Congress for so long will voice something like this, even though you and I understand that a Russian president has his own sort of security team that is very, I had a chance to read up on it and have some understanding. It's far advanced that you can even, yet you may not even imagine. It's the equivalency of very, very highly skilled special op individuals. That's basically so. So for us to be thinking that's will be easy achieved, as this U.S. senator said, it's delusional. It is delusional. So that is one of the poor choice of word. It shouldn't even be said because it just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So now, the other thing that I want to address with you has to do with the announcements by, which today, by the way, by Ukraine, that the Russia has sort of targeted the nuclear facility by the name of Zaporizhzhia. I hope I pronounce it correctly. Zaporizhzhia, which is a nuclear power plant in central Ukraine and is considered one of Europe, the largest in the area. So, or the region rather. So the question becomes, for you just to ask, is why all of a sudden Putin will worry about a nuclear facility? There are no nuclear weapons there, but why will he think about that one? Well, the answer is simple. Sometimes it might be complicated, but it's simple. The fact that this location is the largest nuclear facility in Ukraine and in Europe, of course, it used to host the Soviet Union nuclear weapons back then. So to the calculation of Putin is seeing where things are moving, seeing where Europe is pushing, seeing where NATO is going, the idea becomes is I better take care of that facility out first before they start developing the nuclear weapons. That is the only explanation, because they, Russians, are not going to take over that facility to produce nuclear weapons. They don't need it. They have over 6,521, I believe, nuclear warheads. So they don't need any more of those. And why will they need that? But it's just very interesting, because you need to understand the dynamics of certain tactical decisions. We give you a clue as to where things are headed, you know, given the complications of where things are. Okay. Then there's the other issue that I truly want to highlight to you. And this one has to do with two countries, is Japan and Singapore. You might ask yourself why. It's because I found it very ironic that Japan and Singapore will issue unilateral sanctions on Russia out of the blue. So what did Russia do to Singapore, and what did Russia do to Japan? So that becomes, you know, just kind of a question to ask about this one. So for Japan, as we know, it's a resource poor country, you know, imports all of its energy. And as a matter of fact, Japan is already feeling the impact of the crisis in Ukraine. And like most likely, like any other parts in the world, it's going to see the rise in fuel prices. That's just normal. As a matter of fact, the research that I conducted, and I will be providing you the link where I found this information, is that Japan has only about 240 days worth of crude oil. That's it. And it has about approximately 2 to 3 weeks of liquefied natural gas. So you ask yourself, in a rational person would say, okay, what are we going and sanctioning that? Well, of course, they had to follow the orders of the United States, you know, as we all know. You know, and I'm not putting down Japan here, whatever, but we all know the history of Japan. Okay. So whatever the US says, Japan will have to follow through. The surprising one for me is Singapore. I was a little bit surprised by it. I didn't expect it. Knowing how Singapore always maintain its neutrality. That's usually how I've always perceived Singapore. Yeah, but if you are to dig and see what's behind the scenes, you'll find out there's always a reason. As Ross used to say, what's the news behind the news? And that is very interesting. What this one has to do with money laundering. You know, Singapore, the latest report that came up, which was about 2 years ago or so, suggests that, which came by the United States, that Singapore now is clear of any money laundering, knowing that there were cases that have been brought to justice forward, because it was almost, and I am not going to paint this with a broad brush. No. But there have been cases of money laundering in Singapore. So could it be that Singapore found itself in a very delicate position to move forward with the sanctions based on a U.S. request? There is the possibility to that, because it can be this just coincidence like this. Things happen like that one. So I'm just kind of a little bit surprised that it should be something behind the scenes that is not visible to all of us. So that was the reason why, or the way I understood why Japan and Singapore decided on sanctions. In the case of Australia, well, we all know Australia's kind of there are a lot. I've been reading some reports coming out of Australia, and there is a lot of conflicting reports as far as where Australia stands and this economy and so forth. All this, nothing but hypes. That's usually what it is. So to go back to my initial topic, as far as, you know, will this meeting be granted? Will Russia? Will Putin's Russia sit down with Zelensky? Personally, I don't see it happening, given now the phase of the operation has entered a different level now. You know? Because that becomes the question, when you have all your forces surrounding a city, be it Kharkiv, be it whatever that might be, there is a different plan for all this together. And I don't see the rationale as to why Russia will grant Ukraine that request. You know, on the other hand, you ask yourself, is Ukraine, President Zelensky in this case, realizing that maybe it was not such thing, such a mistake that he made, could have all this been avoided? And there is another alternative. But that alternative, unfortunately, Ukraine won't be able to do it. You know, and the alternative is, why not create Ukraine as an independent sort of neutral in a way between Russia and Europe? Meaning, in a simple terminology, it won't belong to this and it won't belong to this. It will be neutral with whatever agreements that comes between the West and Russia. But I don't see that happening because Ukraine would not have a say into all this. Guy, I want to say thank you so much for your super sticker, and also take this opportunity to say thank you for last time I didn't get a chance to read out your name, to the shout out for your name for your super sticker. Thank you so much, Guy. I appreciate it. And by the way, some of you put a comment that I should wait till the end and thank everybody. No, I don't do that. I'll stop whatever to say thank you because that's how it is for me. You give credit when credit is due. You say thank you when it matters, not later on. So, but I do appreciate whomever put the comments suggesting that. I welcome your suggestions. I welcome your criticism. I'm here to learn as well from you guys. I don't know everything. I'm learning as I go along. I want you to know that. So when somebody like a guy posts a super sticker, it is my responsibility to stop everything and say thank you, because that support means a lot to us and to all of you guys, to all of you. So the idea becomes is as far as Ukraine, how things are going to move forward, it's getting more complicated. It's because the West has realized the complexity of this. You know, as I always say, we kind of pushed too far, too hard. And at some point, you know, you can only push so hard. And my big concern now is I always think step ahead. I am thinking of what's after this. Because I always have to think in terms of what are we looking at the next place for a conflict. And that will be very, very problematic. So, because this, the current conflict in Ukraine, it's not going to be resolved tomorrow or after tomorrow. It's going to be dragging for a while. Because we thought the same with some other conflicts before, and we end up being there for almost 20 years. But it's the human suffering, the Ukrainian people. That's where the sadness is. I mean, nobody wants to see something like what's taking place, you know. And with the aggravations that's moving forward now, you get, as I said earlier, the French are sending their aircraft carriers. So what's next? This is where I see the danger of all this moving forward. I hope they can come up to some sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? An understanding, so they can sit down, negotiate in good faith, okay, and came up with a solution that will be lasting for everybody. Because you don't want any other. We went through enough with World War I, with World War II. It was a different time. This time around will be far more destructive. So can we humans, all of us, embrace something for more peace? Advocate for more tolerance, understanding of sort. It's going to take a collective effort. This is not the effort of one country or one individual. It's all of us, because we all could benefit from it, from peace, and we all could suffer from a destruction. Nobody will be immune to it. That is the importance of this. So before I leave, I want to leave you with the, as I always say now, question of the day. And the question of the day is, did Putin, in your opinion, made a strategic mistake by deciding to go full scale in Ukraine? Once again, in your opinion, did President Putin made a strategic mistake by deciding to go full scale in Ukraine? And remember, the operation is still going on, okay? And when I say strategic, I'm referring to the impact long term. Did he think this through? So I really will be curious to read your answers to this question. I hope you next week we're gonna do probably a video for you guys. We'll decide with the team as to what we're gonna be providing. As far as this is an important topic that we need to keep up with, because you need to know what's going on, because events are changing on a daily basis, and this falls at least for me within my wheelhouse, shall we say, and I feel comfortable enough to maintain my eyes open on what's going on around the world and provide you a brief analysis that you could find very, very useful. So I hope you find this very useful, guys. And as always, stay informed. Till next time. Bye-bye.